Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might. And because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. If you would read along with me the catechetical review, the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
He lives on the throne of glory. He lives eternally to save. Please stand as we sing together the gospel Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Luke. Jesus. Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does this mean? What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Father, we thank you for the great hope and the promise that you have given to us through the cross, through the grave, and through the empty tomb. We pray, dear Father, each day, that you would guide and direct us that we might live in your love and let the world see that great faith that we have that clings to you. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, before I went to seminary, I was working for a furniture company, and we were developing all kinds of things in the company, and it was growing rapidly, and every day at noon or in the afternoons at break time, I'd find myself in the break room with a lot of the people I was supervising. One day as we were there, there was a young man that was part of my department. And he came up to me and he started asking questions about Christianity, very surface questions about Christianity. And what I noticed after that is when we were in the break room or hanging around a group of people, they would often come to me and ask these questions about faith, about Jesus, about forgiveness, all of these things. One day I was sitting having lunch with this employee and I asked him, I said, "Why is it that everybody's coming to me with these questions?" And he said this, "We've been watching you. You're always early to work. You never complain. You pray before you eat. You seem to be the right guy to ask." And that was quite interesting, quite overwhelming to realize that they were watching me. They were watching the Christian faith in action. And they, by watching me, determined that I was the one that they could ask about their questions. They knew me, they had a relationship with me, and they felt comfortable asking the questions. What a great thing. Now, the world around us, dear saints, is watching us in everything that we do. They're watching us because St. Peter describes us in this way. We are the baptized, the forgiven children of God. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the eyes of the world, Christians are a curiosity. They don't understand why we do what we do. They're watching you as you talk about your spouse. They're watching you as you do your job. They're watching you as you talk about your kids or your in-laws, or even as they talk about the boss. They're watching how you treat other people. The outside world watches us to see if what we do and if how we speak, if that lines up with what they know about Christianity. What a beautiful thing it is when the world around us sees a faithful man or a faithful woman or teenager living in their baptism, living in the way that Christ has called us to live. It's quite an amazing thing to see when we gather in the break room at work and there the gossip has started. They are tearing someone down. They are making speculations about them. They are continuing to pull them down and to tear them up. And a child of God enters and will not engage in the gossip. Instead, they offer up the best construction of what they know. It's an amazing thing to see what happens, because when we don't engage in the tearing down, when we do what God has called us to do, which is love our neighbor and to build them up and to speak well of them, it stops all the rest. When we speak well of someone and will not engage, the gossip and the bashing stop. What the world sees in your confession is faith through your actions. They see Christ in action, in the actions, in the things that you do. It's bowling night with the boys, and you're done, and everyone is headed to the bar. And you, faithful dad, beg off politely to go home, to say goodnight, to pray with your kids. Well, you can imagine how that goes over with those that you're with. They razz you and they rip you and they tear you up and they say all kinds of things about you, and you simply say, no, I need to be home with my family. That's what God's called me to do. It's my job, it's my duty to be a good father and a husband, to pray with my kids and to teach them that's important. What they see, even though they tear you up for deserting them, is Christ in action. They see Christ in your actions. They see a faithful husband, a faithful father, a teacher, someone who loves his kids and wants to be with his family. St. Peter writes in the epistle for today, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of your visitation. Dear saints, our actions tell the story of our faith. When love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control are what the world sees from our lives, the glory is to God. They see God, or they see your faith in action. But remember, dear saints, all of our actions tell a story of faith. There are times when you lose your temper at work. There are times when the husband or wife we promise to be is not who we are. There are times when our kids and the world around us sees the worst in us. They see just the opposite of what Christianity should show. What do we do when that happens? If we don't address our own sin, what the world sees is an inconsistent faith. They see what they have suspected all along. The Christian God is impotent, a God who isn't able to do anything because they couldn't change this person. The answer, when we have not been who we say and who we think we are, is that they need to see Christianity in action. They need to see more Jesus. When the world sees the worst of us, they need to see more Jesus and what he does for me and through me and in me. It's talking to that person that you blew up at and admitting your sin. It's saying, I'm sorry, which is a recognition that I've hurt you, but not stopping there, just like we talked about with the kids. The world would have us believe that saying I'm sorry or apologizing is enough. It's a good start. It's a recognition that I've hurt you by my actions. But the faith we have tells us there's more. They need to see more Jesus. Please forgive me for blowing up at you. Please forgive me for tearing you down in front of my friends. Please forgive me for my own frustration. It got the best of me. You see, the heart of the living Christian faith in this broken world is continued repentance and forgiveness. There's no better way for our deeds to demonstrate our faith than to admit, to confess to God our Father and to each other that I didn't do what I wanted to do. I did, in fact, just the opposite. When the world watches you to learn more about Christianity, they expect perfection, which is unrealistic for all of us. They expect that one is saved by keeping the law, and if you are a Christian, then you will keep it all the time, and the problems of anger or gossip will not affect you. That's not true. Our sin clings to us. What we can teach the world, the best picture of Christianity that we can show the world, is the mercy of God even when we haven't acted like we know we should. And because we forgive others, they see what Christ has done for us. The love that God has for us is so great, so pure, that he would send Jesus into our broken world where we again and again and again do not do what he wants. We fall into the same traps, the same sin, and yet Jesus comes to us with words of total and complete forgiveness. He says it from the cross to Telestai, it is finished. Your sin, all of it, your anger, your gossip, all the things that come out of us so freely, forgiven. Because of Jesus' love for you on the cross. There will be times in our lives when we have blown up at someone, when we have not shown the best of Christianity, and there's no one to ask for forgiveness. Our conscience is still troubling us because of what we've done. The answer is, again, more Jesus for you. We have the very underutilized gift in the church of private confession absolution. And that's not for the pastor to go rooting around in your past. It's for you to get Jesus. It's for you, dear saint, to hear the words of Jesus applied directly to the sin that is affecting your conscience and know that that sin is forgiven by Christ alone. Private confession is Jesus for you, for the sin that bothers you. Never to be spoken of again because it is in the seal of confessional. To hear your confession and to give you peace with God and total forgiveness of sins is the pastor's duty and great joy. To give you Jesus. It is finished, is applied directly to the sin that is troubling your conscience. The declaration given to you in any type of confession absolution is the same one the disciples heard on that first Easter morning. Jesus appeared to them, and his words to them were an absolution. Peace be with you. Peace between you and God because of what Jesus has done and has given to you. Peace with God is yours because of Jesus. Peace with your fellow man. Peace with your kids. Peace with your spouse. Because Jesus has died and taken all of your sins and put them in the tomb and left them there as he has risen from the dead. The world is watching you, dear Christians. Let them see Jesus. Let them see Jesus in action. Let them see Jesus and the fruit that you produce because of the faith that God has given to you. Let them see Jesus when you hurt them and ask them for forgiveness. Or grant them forgiveness when they've hurt you. Let them see Jesus in all of your actions. Let them see repentance. Let them see mercy. Let them see Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.